He followed the trail of hoof marks in the snow, and after a laborious climb, he crested the hill. The estate loomed before him, expansive and ornate, with its walls of stone, its turrets and round spires. Practically a castle, it was far too boastful in its appearance, even for the wealthy of Selborne. As he rounded a copse of evergreens, a dark and towering figure stepped out from behind the cascade of boughs, and Sam's right hand went instinctively to the pistol at his belt, though he had the sense his reaction would have been too slow. His father had been lightning with the steel, but no matter how much Sam practiced, he could never square up to his old man in that regard, or, indeed, any other. A man's voice said,
"I seen a horse, and was wondering about the rider."
The figure produced a lantern, holding it closer to his face, and Sam saw that it was one of Crown Hill's Negroes. He relaxed his gun hand and let out a sigh.
"You shocked me there." "Sorry about that. Ain't trying to get myself shot this morning." "It's fine." Sam waved it off as they trudged toward the house together. "Did you bother to catch that nag?"
"Run straight for the stable. Didn't say she was called Nag, though."
"Oh?"
Sam said.
"Did she say she left me twisting down by the creek?"
"Sure did."
Sam laughed.
"What's your name, fella?"
"They call me Colvin, sir."
As the man powered through the snow, he did so with a hitch in his step, his threadbare pants bunched up around the knee, with a length of rope securing them, and below that was a long iron peg ending in a brick of black metal.
"How'd you lose that leg?"
"Old master took it."
"Crown Hill did that?"
"Lord, no." He winced. "Was my old master, name of Harrison, who took it. Mr. Crown Hill give me the iron right before he cut me loose."
"You're a freedman, then?"
"Long about 4 years now."
"Very good."
Sam gave the big man a cockeyed glance.
"As for your former master, that would be Theodore Harrison?"
"Yes, sir, it would."
Sam snickered. It was Colvin's turn to raise an eyebrow of curiosity.
"Teddy Harrison, I'm told, has quite a reputation, even among slaveholders."
Colvin grunted.
"A well-earned one, too, Sheriff."
They continued on in silence. Sam marveled at how well the man pushed through the snow on his iron peg. Colvin's old master had a penchant for cruel treatment of his slaves, far more cruel than most. He was sure that Harrison had taken Colvin's leg for sport just as much as he had for whatever minor offense the man had committed. Crippled and devalued by his injury, Colvin was sold to the Crown Hills, where at Evermore he received fairer treatment, a new leg of sorts, and ultimately freedom. And still Colvin remained in the service of the family of his own volition. These were strange times indeed.
"I'd take you on up to the house," Colvin said, breaking left for the front entrance. "Miss Charlotte's expecting you."
They strode up the walk to the front door, and Colvin opened it, ushering the sheriff inside, but he did not follow.
"Colvin, how long's that boy been missing?"
The man shook his head.
"I reckon it best if you let Miss Charlotte explain."
He tipped his weathered hat and shuffled away toward the far side of the property. Sam pulled the massive front door closed. It slipped into place with a hard metallic clack, not unlike the sound of a prison cell door slamming shut.